Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Welcome to the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host. You're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston, heard live every first Sunday at 7 p.m. You can also tune into my show on our station, Dream Vision 7 Radio, every week, Wednesday through Friday, at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. To learn more and for a full station schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Thanks for tuning into our May show. Our topic is spiritual beliefs about the soul's journey and transition to the other side. On tonight's show, I'm going to share information that's been researched and written about by a number of leading authors. This is information about what they believe happens when we die. And I'll also share an understanding of death and passing and the experience of the other side as I've learned it in my Eastern teaching and my metaphysical training, and also in my own experience of receiving messages from those who've passed on. Over the past 15 years, I've found amazing similarities within my own experiences, and actually particularly as related to those that I have read about, which I'm going to share. So I guess the questions are, what are we here for on Earth, and what happens after we've completed our life cycle? Is there a place or a state of being, or some would say a kind of existence that we go to, or even an experience when we die? You know, what actually happens? What happens at that time? Some people have talked about a life review. So is there a life review? Do we return again? These are just a few of the questions that will come up and that we'll be discussing this evening. So as you listen to this show, I'll ask you, while you may have your own understanding, just to be open perhaps to some new ideas or simply to have your own thoughts confirmed. So let's go ahead and start with what about life after death. Well, many researched cases of near-death experiences point to a belief in life after death. And in recorded cases, particularly of past life hypnotic regressions, it's been found that individuals in the state of hypnosis expressed experiences of having lived before their current lifetime. And you may know this is, again, past life regressions. And these individuals under hypnosis shared that in between their lifetimes, they experienced a plane of existence and a very specific procedure to process each lifetime before they went on into the next life. And amazingly, based on famous psychologists' testimonies in research with these patients, you know, their own patients, these individuals did not know one another, and yet their accounts were very similar. So before we delve more into these specifics, let's just clarify some basic spiritual understanding about souls, about life, and then, of course, about the afterlife, at least from a spiritual or metaphysical standpoint or point of view. Now, in metaphysics, it's believed that each of us encounters a spiritual journey while we're here on Earth, and probably you're familiar with that concept. And it's believed that we're born into our exact life situation in order to fulfill a mission that we have a contract to complete. So you could say, you know, bravely enough, we accepted the challenge of our lifetime, and we were given the circumstances that we would need in order to learn and to grow here during this time on Earth. And we received assistance in choosing these lessons from our spiritual teachers and guides who are working with us. And the idea is that they work with us both on the other side in what would be termed, I guess, a planning stage, and also while we're here on Earth. And again, this is pretty much general metaphysical belief. Now, some authors and spiritual teachers believe that immediately at birth, we begin this process of encountering and learning our lessons. So let me first mention that I've mentioned before on other shows that I do teach in Japan. I teach a variety of different topics, and I also teach Reiki master as well as Reiki master teachers there. So in Japan, our spiritual helpers with this idea that I just spoke of are called spirit guardians. While here in America, we might refer to the term angel, like guardian angel or guide, but it's really the same idea. And it's believed that each of us came into our lifetime to to learn the human condition, to learn some aspect of what we're calling the human condition. In other words, to gain this idea, this learning through some kind of a specific lesson. So the lessons, interestingly, may be really any of the following. Let's say you came in to learn how to forgive. And I always think, well, if you came in to learn how to forgive, you're going to have somebody to forgive, right? So, you know, but maybe you came in to learn how to forgive or to learn how not to give away your power. What if that were the reason you were here? Or to learn how not to take someone else's power. Those two will probably match up at some point. To learn to surrender, to learn to trust. And, you know, the list could go on and on. And sometimes we'll find ourselves partnered with people who are learning the flip side of what we're learning. And, again, in that way, I feel like we're each other's teachers. So we may learn a piece of all of these lessons that I have mentioned in one lifetime. We could have numerous challenges. But, again, the understanding is that one lesson in particular is going to be the primary lesson for that lifetime. And a few others that I'll mention is, what if you feel like you've gone through repeated betrayals? Or you've been abandoned. You know, maybe you were abandoned early on in life and then you experienced abandonment in a relationship later and so on. And you can see how this feels true because there are people who've encountered repeated opportunities in their lifetimes just to learn a specific kind of lesson. You know, maybe you feel that you've had this happen to you too. So in Japan, they do believe, of course, in reincarnation. And they liken the soul's evolution as one that takes place during many lifetimes, or as they would put it, until the soul achieves the highest consciousness. You know, so at some point we will all get to the place in their mind that we will achieve the highest consciousness. And the soul's evolution itself is referred to, and I love this image, as the image of a pearl necklace. And in this, on this necklace of the soul's evolution, each pearl is a lifetime. Now, each pearl doesn't know how many pearls there are beside it or what the previous experiences and lessons have been, yet in each lifetime, the soul is here in a physical body, learning about what it means to be human, and really we're learning about the power of choice and how important choice is. So these lessons come in many different ways, and you could even say that our options for how we learn them are just as, you know, are as many as well. And still the idea is that everything is for one overall purpose, again, that each of us came in to learn the human condition and to learn about issues of power and love. And you could also say that we all have one thing in common, and that is that in our given exchanges with other people while we're here, sometimes we'll be the student and other times we'll be the teacher in these different situations, and again, for different reasons. So let's go back to the idea of learning forgiveness. And I had mentioned, you know, if I'm here to learn forgiveness, I have to have someone to forgive. And in this way, you can see that we help each other. We go through our own lesson on earth and hold a role in other people's learning experiences. There are even those authors, such as Michael Newton, whom I'll be talking about, who say that people contracted with other people before they came in. The idea in his work is that we sat around with a soul group, and these are the key people who are in your life. You sat around with the soul group, and as you sat around, let's say I took on, I'm going to learn forgiveness. Well, somebody's going to have to volunteer to play the role of someone I'll have to forgive. And the other thing I want to add, though, is it doesn't mean that any of this is predestined. There's always different choices, different ways things can play out. But the overall theme of the lessons, you know, would perhaps be set up ahead of time. So you see, all our life situations involve challenges that we work with and that we learn from. And it's believed also that these challenges are helping us to do what's termed polish our soul. So the circumstances of our lives are not without purpose and meaning, or you could even just say everything has purpose and meaning. It's also believed that while the souls on the other side know all this, that I've just mentioned, that we're going to understand it fully only after we actually pass. So what we live through and what we learn in our lifetime creates our spiritual lesson. And how we respond, you know, and I really want to stress that, how we respond to our circumstances, our learning, how we maintain a vibration of love and peace while we're here, all this also contributes to our vibration and our consciousness. And it's really, we're here as we learn the human condition to raise our vibration and our consciousness to a higher level. than, let's say, the previous incarnation. You know, we can't take physical stuff with us when we pass, but we do take our consciousness. And there's a wonderful quote that I heard years ago, and that is, the gown we leave in has no pockets. We can only take what's in our hearts. So with that idea, too, you know, we're not leaving with things. We're leaving with a consciousness, with experience of the heart. So what happens to us in our lifetime is important to our spiritual journey on Earth and our lessons learned. Okay, so now most spiritual authors teach that the souls who have passed want us to know that there's nothing at all to fear and that we're going to meet again on the other side. So to them, those who are passing, they suffer only the loss of the physical body. And the physical body, I guess you could say, could be likened to a garment that they were wearing while they were on Earth, because the soul is really their true essence. Another interesting thing, I believe it is in Michael Newton's work, he says that that particular garment you've chosen is really the best one for you in this incarnation. If you had decided something would be better before coming in, you would have chosen it. So, you know, those of us who don't feel good about our bodies, just remember this was chosen because it is the best garment to learn this soul's incarnation, the lesson. Now, you've heard the statement also, we're spiritual beings here on Earth having a human experience. And I've always loved that quote, and it really does describe this theory very well. So when a person passes, they don't feel the physical separation like we do. Their body was necessary while they were on Earth, yet their consciousness or their spirit is what they need to continue on the other side. And if a person dies tragically or suddenly, we're told in most metaphysical teaching that there are no accidents. So I guess you could say that the particular type of death was what was needed for the soul's lesson and for the learning of the soul's journey in that lifetime. And after they pass, our loved ones can come near us spiritually and support us if we experience sadness or, you know, or trouble. Some authors suggest, and it's been my experience also in receiving messages from loved ones or people from the other side, that our loved ones are not kept from their spiritual growth by coming to us to support us in this way. In fact, more likely it is a part of their spiritual growth. So I don't know if you've ever had a loved one communicate with you after passing. And if so, during the second half of our show, you can call in with your brief story. We'd love to hear that. But many people have had that experience of a loved one communicating. And the most common ways they report that they experienced this are contact through a dream. That's probably the most common, a familiar smell, such as, you know, a perfume or a specific scent, lights that go on or off. I have found that to be extremely pertinent all the time. In fact, for me, that's probably the most common, the lights that go on and off, the dream and the lights. A song on the radio. You know, you're thinking of someone and you flip on the radio and, whoa, lo and behold, there's the song that's saying, you know, what the person wishes to tell you. A music box that plays by itself. You haven't been playing it, and suddenly it goes off. Or, of course, even a vision or some other amazing sign. And interestingly, frequently people tell me, and I have definitely had this happen too, that they'll notice a bird that seems to ask for their attention outside their window, you know, or an animal, a squirrel or something, but they know that somehow this is a sign from their loved one. So the soul, after it passes, comes to a greater understanding of themselves and of life itself. And again, they'll look for ways to comfort and support us and get us back on the road of our spiritual journey here. And we have to understand that our loved ones live on in another dimension. Now, we've heard many accounts of those who've had near-death experience who do speak of bright light and tunnels after their passing. Some researchers and authors on the subject, including famous mediums. And mediums are people who do communicate with souls who've passed on. They've reported that souls say they were able to see the portal to the hereafter, or the other side, and their deceased loved ones before or shortly after they actually left the earth. So the belief in whatever form is that the other side does whatever it needs to do in order to create a kind of trust for the soul to transition to the other side. And some even say that the other side is a dimension or a world that isn't really separate from ours, but you could say it runs parallel to ours. So it's like it's here, and instead of being physical, it's just energetic and vibrational. And I'd like to mention now the work of a well-known author on this subject, and certainly a favorite author of mine, and that is Dr. Michael Newton, whom I'd referred to. Now, Dr. Newton is a psychologist, a counselor, and a hypnotherapist. He has over 30 years of experience in regressing thousands of people in hypnosis over the years. And in his work, he says he stumbled onto a discovery of enormous proportions, and that's to quote him, and found through his work that he was able to see into the spirit world through the mind's eye of a hypnotized subject. And the subject could report back to him, in other words, of their experiences of life on the other side in between their lives on Earth. And each of his hypnosis sessions, by the way, were individual ones that averaged about 3 hours in length. So Dr. Newton found from his research that when patients spoke of the other side, they called it, and I'll quote him, the place we all go after death. And they also said, again, I'm quoting him, it was one of order and direction. So Dr. Newton said he came to appreciate that there was a grand design to life, and that afterlife, to life and afterlife, I should say, from doing the work that he had done. And again, you can read his accounts in his books. I found the most helpful of his books to be the ones called Journey of Souls, that was his first book, and Destiny of Souls, the second book. And I think they're best read in that order. Again, Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls. They're just very powerful and interesting material, and they truly confirm a lot of what I had received myself. Now, when Dr. Newton spoke with his patients about the afterlife and the experiences when they were passing to the other side, he found some people said that in their out-of-body experiences after they passed, that they often floated around in a strange way at first, right after death, kind of trying to touch solid objects, I guess, which were dematerializing in front of them. And some said they made attempts to talk to living people who didn't respond. But they also reported feeling a pulling sensation away from the place where they had just died, and they did experience relaxation and curiosity. Interestingly, that rather than fear. Patients reported to him that their souls often left their bodies moments before actual death if their bodies were in any kind of tragedy or great pain, yet they stayed close to the dying body. They also said that, he said that some of his patients said that they that a force of some kind, you know, to quote him, a force of some kind pushed them up and out of their body, or that they felt they were being pulled by a magnetic force. And they at times reported to him that they felt weightless as if they were in air that wasn't air. That was actually the way they put it. They reported also that they felt a spiritual entity around them waiting until they were ready to connect. So most of them then were greeted first by a spiritual being. Again, remember our spirit guardian or angel, and then by their loved ones. And I think some had reported first being greeted by the loved ones. But at any rate, he said some of the souls wanted to hover around their body on Earth for a few days, usually after their funerals, particularly if someone had been murdered or died unexpectedly. And they mainly stayed because of a desire to mentally reach out to comfort their loved ones before they went on into the spirit world. So he said that during and right after their funerals, that they were capable of feeling, people had reported rather that they were capable of feeling this comforting presence of the souls of lost loved ones. And the lost loved ones in the hypnotherapy said that they had, you know, been able to do that. So Dr. Newton believes that dying people are given access to kind of a supreme knowledge, something that he called eternal consciousness, and that the life lessons that we spoke about all concerned some way to learn love in some form. And this was repeatedly revealed to him by his patients under hypnosis. So in metaphysics, in matching up with Dr. Newton's work, we say that life is about choices. And here's another really important feature, at least it was always for me when I learned it, that rather than to be judged when we pass, that instead, with the help of our spiritual guides and teachers on the other side, after we pass, we go through a life review, and we evaluate and learn from our life experience. So the life review, you know, that you've heard of, or your life goes before you, that type of idea, Dr. Newton's patients described it as a movie that replays all of the life circumstances. And they said it was as though we get to see our life all over again. Now, interestingly, not only, though, this is really important, that you see your life replayed, but you get to know how you impacted others in their lives. So you got to know what they were feeling and thinking as well in response to you. And people who caused pain for others became aware of the pain that they caused and how the other person had felt. This was said to be so necessary because in order for them to learn and be objective in this review, this is the way it had to occur. And again, he said that people repeatedly in their testimony said that the life review, that all things of earth became clear to us, you know, or become clear to us when we pass. Now, there's another professional on the subject, and that's George Anderson. Many of you may have heard of him. He's written wonderful books. One of my favorites is called George Anderson's Lessons from the Light. I believe it's Lessons from the Light. And he's a famous medium who's written a number of books. He's well known as an expert in communicating with departed souls. He says that when we pass, at least the souls tell him that when we pass, it's as though we get the answer sheet to our life's test. And I really love how that's worded. He also says that we accept, we understand, and I guess most of all, that we release the troubles that bound us to earth. And that while each of us is passing, you know, each of our passing, rather, is like unique in its own way, that there is a constant, and that is that the destination, and again, this is according to Anderson's experience in undertaking soul's messages, that the destination on the other side is one of what he called infinite light. So we're going to take a break momentarily, but what I want to say before that is when we come back, I want to talk more about the other side. I am going to share some of my own work, some of my experiences, a couple of particularly important stories that I experienced, and a little more not only about George Anderson, but also about James von Prague. So let's get ready for that break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. I'm live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM, NBC Sports Radio Boston. We will be back for further material on our soul's journey and the other side. To call in during our second half of the show, maybe you want to tell us how you received contact. The local number is 617-237-1234, or you can call toll-free 866-338-9663. Thank you.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Join Lynn McGonigal, the founder of the Lightworkers Healing Method, as she and her amazing guests show you how to move into a life of lasting joy. Miracles happen every second Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Hasn't your soul already waited long enough?
Welcome to In Spirit with Maria Halverson. I'm Maria Halverson, your host. In Spirit comes to you every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. to bring you stories that will inspire you to open your hearts and minds to the afterlife. In Spirit is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome back You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. You can call in during this next segment by calling our local number, 617-237-1234, or toll-free, 866-338-9663. So we left off in this description of the other side. So I want to share that in Newton's work, as well as Anderson's, and also in general metaphysical teaching, the other side is considered, again, not so much a place as a state of being. And George Anderson, the medium, states it this way. He says that it's a fixed place with many levels of consciousness from which the souls, after completing their spiritual education and experience, move forward into the light. The infinite light, I guess, is how he puts it. So basically, the light is the highest consciousness and understanding of the vibration of love. And he continues his description by suggesting that the difference between spiritual levels really isn't about it being higher and lower, or you could say greater and lesser, but he likens it to a school system on Earth. And he says, you know, one person could have a high school diploma in regard to spiritual experience and understanding, whereas another person with extensive life experience could possess a PhD. But we're all going to learn and grow on the other side in greater consciousness and understanding as we do on the Earth plane. And both Newton and Anderson suggest that it's a place of learning. So not only Anderson again, but Newton likewise likened it to a university. And his clients, remember that he regressed, would say that it's like a university on the other side. And these were thousands of individuals in the past life regression. Now, the other person on this subject, and of course there are many, these just happen to be a few that I'm going to speak about, a famous medium and author, James von Prague, he agrees also with this idea. In fact, he says in regard to the other side that the spirit world is made up of thousands of levels, which he referred to as many mansions. And he says you gravitate to particular levels depending on your soul's evolution and consciousness, but that you continue learning in the realm that you're in and are with familiar souls of like-minded consciousness. So I guess we definitely are going to see each other on the other side. And above all, each one agreed with basic metaphysical teaching that the universal law is what governs everything. So let me make a quick aside about that. Universal law, like how does that compare to human law? Well, human law suggests if someone does something to us that we need to get even and, you know, we're separate from them and that type of idea, or even just that there could be a victim consciousness, whereas universal law suggests that we're all one and that if you harm another person, you're actually harming yourself. And the idea on the other side is that everything really is about universal law. It's bathed in light. Things are beautiful there because they're created with light and love. And Anderson says, interestingly, that he learned that when people pass, especially if it's due to a terminal illness, that after their death, they're brought to, he actually called it a house of reflection, where they rest and recuperate before beginning their new life on the other side. And they, on the other side as well, they'll have a continued sense of joy, happiness, and peace, which is what he says makes their existence what we've been calling heaven, or what we refer to as heaven. Interestingly, in Japan, I've heard this referred to as the soul being cocooned in warmth and love so that it can heal. Now, I have to mention also a wonderful spiritual classic book. It's called The Boy Who Saw True, and I've used it in my teaching. So if you can get this book, The Boy Who Saw True, you'll love it. It's an anonymous book. It was written by a boy who apparently as a man became famous but didn't want his identity as the author of this book to be known. It was written in the late 1800s. I think it's believed to be written by someone in England, but again, no author is mentioned. Well, this boy could see energy and he could receive messages from the other side. It's a really fascinating book based on the boy's journal. And I just want to tell you about a passage he has in his book. He says, in regard to heaven, Grandpa said heaven isn't a bit, because his grandfather could come to him frequently. He said, Grandpa said heaven isn't a bit like what people think, and it's much nicer. He told me that by and by, crowds of people will believe in the Spirit something like they believe in Jesus now, and they'll all be much happier and won't mind such a lot about death. I asked him if people stayed old in heaven when they had died old, and he just laughed and said no. He told me that where he was, people could make themselves look just as they wanted to look. If they liked to think of themselves looking young, they would look young and the other way around, too. He says he makes himself look old when he comes to see me, because if he didn't, I wouldn't know him. And then the boy goes on to say that his grandfather said that when he was on Earth, he said he felt, in comparison, far more dead than alive. But now that he was supposed to be dead, he felt far more alive than dead. So again, just a wonderful book. Now, I have also received messages from those who've passed on, and I was fortunate enough to be present at the passing of one of my dearest clients. I want to share a part of that story. I'd worked with this woman, Anne, for 10 years, and she'd attended many of my classes. And I teach all different types of metaphysical classes. At any rate, before Anne passed and while she was still conscious, she asked me to go over what would happen when she passed and how it might happen. You have to understand, I spent a lot of time with Anne the week before she passed, particularly, you know, taking off from work and staying with her, and then I was there when she did pass. Anne was a very young 37-year-old woman who'd had breast cancer for the third time. At any rate, I really loved Anne, and we reviewed her life, and she reminded me of something I'd said in a class years before, and that's a quote from the Dalai Lama, that at the end of our lives, and this is how I've always understood it, that we're going to be asked just one question, and the question is, did I love well? So that has really changed a lot of things for me, because, you know, if did I love well is the question, then what would love do now at this moment in this situation to me is the constant question. But at any rate, Anne had said to me that she wanted to know if I thought she'd loved well. It was so humbling, you know. But anyway, her question really moved me a lot because, to me, Anne was love itself. She was just a very caring, deeply passionate woman, loved, loved, loved animals and nature. But at any rate, the night of her death, I sat with her, and about an hour or so before she passed, I watched the energy around her, and I saw an image form over her heart area, what we call the heart chakra. I just noticed this blue image of a crystal-like formation. It was there energetically, and I guess you'd say about an hour before she passed. And I also saw spiritual energies hovering above her, and I really felt strongly that they were perhaps angels, spiritual beings that were present, as well as her loved ones. And in her last days, Anne had told me that her deceased animals were present in the room. She told me that her grandmother had come in a white station wagon to pick her up, but she wasn't quite ready. In fact, she said, I wanted to go. And I said, this is, I think, the day before she passed, and I said, you know, Anne, it took you 37 years to get here, so your soul, no doubt, is going to choose the exact right time. And she's coming back. So anyway, this is it's really common that the person who's passing does see spirit beings and loved ones, as though we could say the portal to the other side has opened in the consciousness of the person. And the moment Anne took her last breath and exhaled, I can't tell you, but the most amazing sound took place in the room. It was the sound of a wind chime, and there were no chimes present in the space. And I was there with her nurse and her brother. We all looked at each other. We all heard it very clearly. And what I thought was so interesting about this is that in Dr. Newton's book, he reported that one of his clients in hypnosis mentioned that in a previous life, as he had passed, and this is what he said under hypnosis, there was an echo of music, musical tingling of wind chimes vibrating with his movements. It was so relaxing. So I just thought that was amazing. Now, another story I want to share is that I worked with another client and dear friend, Lisa, and Lisa had an illness of cancer that took her life. But several days before her death, a group of about 50 people gathered at my office here in Norfolk, Virginia. These were friends of hers and clients, and each person brought a candle. We knew Lisa couldn't leave her home, but we decided to go to her home and just stand outside. There was a field opposite her house. We lit our candles, and we just prayed for her. And then together we formed a circle and envisioned Lisa in the center helping her heal. And we fully understood that knowing, you know, healing might mean that she would have to transcend or leave her physical body. At any rate, after the group left, I was asked by her family to come into her home that Lisa wanted to speak with me. And this was several days before she passed. But as Lisa lay in her bed, she explained to me that she had begun to notice and sense things that she didn't know how she could know. Now, Lisa had attended my classes. She understood much about the other side, and like Anne, she wasn't afraid to transition. And I remember she told me that although she couldn't get out of bed that morning, that she'd had the awareness that a purse was open and on top of a car down the street. She said she'd asked the nurse to check out the window to see if this was true because, you know, of course, she couldn't get up. the nurse looked, and yes, it was true. It was accurate. And so Lisa said, you know, what does that mean? How can I know that? And I was able to tell her that her consciousness had begun to expand and was able to leave the constraints of her physical body. That was the best way I could describe it, that, you know, she was able to know things outside of the realm of her normal physical dimension. And it is in this way that I believe we begin to transition, or I guess you could say transverse from one world or dimension into the other. So, you know, in addition to this, in my work over the years, loved ones have come through in my client sessions, and these souls have shown me circumstances involving their death, in some cases important people that were present, in some instances what happened during the dying process, what was going on after the death. And in these experiences, most frequently, souls have indicated that a spiritual being or loved one greeted them, and that there wasn't fear, but rather a feeling of love and ease, I guess what we would call peace. When we come back after the next break, I'm going to explain a few more stories, particularly a very important what I call white feather story. But it's time for a break, and I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM, NBC Sports Radio, Boston. We'll be back for further material on our soul's journey and the other side.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Tune in every first Sunday at 6 p.m. for Maximum Success, The Coach Brew Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
The Massachusetts Soldiers Legacy Fund, MSLF, was founded in 2004 with a simple goal: to provide educational assistance grants to the children of Massachusetts service members who were killed while deployed on operations enduring an Iraqi freedom. With its current resources, the MSLF guarantees a minimum of $40,000, $10,000 per annum, in educational funding to each child of a fallen service member whose home of record at the Department of Defense was Massachusetts. There's no selection process. If an individual is a child of a service member whose service is credited to Massachusetts and whom gave his or her life in Operation Enduring or Iraqi Freedom, that child qualifies for MSLF funds. We're proud to report that we're accomplishing our founding objective thanks to the support of individuals and organizations throughout the United States. To donate, go to mslfund.org.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Saturdays 2 to 3 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Saturday, 2 to 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, International Life Coach and Energy Medicine Practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Change in life can be a peaceful evolution. Join Brenda Pierce and guests on the Healthy Wealthy Evolution Show, where you'll receive solutions to wealth, wellness, and joy. The Healthy Wealthy Evolution Show is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network and heard every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston and syndicated on the Dream Vision 7 radio network worldwide.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 Radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, and our topic is The Other Side. Now, I'd mentioned before on the show today that in my work over the years that loved ones have come through in my clients' sessions, and that I have learned, actually, from these clients' loved ones many things. The souls have often spoken of a promise to reunite with loved ones and really wanting the loved ones to know this as a reassurance. Frequently, I understand from them that they're learning on the other side and that everything in their earthly lifetime has had meaning and purpose. Again, my accounts are really similar to those authors that I have mentioned. Now, there's one in particular, though, that I thought was really important to show how the body plays out as well. And this is on the topic of forgiveness. Other experiences I've had included issues of forgiveness with those who've passed on, and this one in particular I just felt like was noteworthy. But often a person passes and loved ones feel as though they aren't able to get closure. You know, so how do we work with that? Well, this one interesting experience I had, a client came to me to receive energy work, and it was for a chronic right shoulder issue. So in the middle of my performing a Reiki session on him at my office, a car outside, a car alarm, began blaring. And thinking it was someone else's car in the lot and hoping they would attend to it, you know, because I didn't want it to bother his relaxation time, I just continued working on him. And then a few minutes later, the client said to me, you know, I think it's my car. Well, at the point that the alarm had begun blaring, I'd been picking up a soul around his field, and I knew it to be his father. Although I had never discussed with him any issue about his father's death, it just had not come up in our work together. So I excused myself, picked up his keys, went to the door, and sure enough, it was his car. So, you know, turned off the alarm. But why? You know, why did the alarm go off? So I have found that souls who've passed on often use electronic devices to get the attention of their loved ones. So when this client and I were discussing the energy in his field after the session, I mentioned to him that I'd been picking up his father and asked him if and when his father had passed on. And he proceeded to tell me that his father had passed several years before, but, and this was the important part, he had not attended his father's funeral. And he said that his father had done things to him when he was growing up that he felt as an adult were just unforgivable. And in fact, his father had pulled his arm when he was about 6 years old very hard and had almost pulled it out of the socket while he was reprimanding him. Now, you know, in hearing this, I was just amazed because I thought about his right shoulder issue, which apparently had become chronic shortly after the father passed. So, you know, was this cellular memory that needed healing, you know, the topic we talked about in our last two shows, was it intended to get his attention as an issue related to forgiveness and his father? So at any rate, it prompted us to do some shamanic release work, and by putting him under hypnosis, I was able to communicate with him and assist him in expressing himself, you know, his feelings of anger and sadness, and really just the general fear that he'd experienced while growing up, and realizing that his father wanted to make contact with him, as he and I both thought the alarm meant, he decided during our work, very bravely, to talk with his dad as though his dad were in the room and to fully express his feelings. And, you know, as he did so, he had a powerful release and pretty much was able to let go of the chronic shoulder pain. There are many other interesting experiences, but let me say just a couple more. I remember once a client came to me, and I'd never met her before. She was actually really distraught about a money issue in her life, and she came for coaching. But because she was so anxious and nervous, I suggested that we do 10 minutes of Reiki so she could relax a little more. And when we did those 10 minutes, when I tuned into her energy, I picked up this image of a little girl about 2 years old who was accompanied by a large dog. And the child seemed very loving toward the client, very happy. After the session, I said to the client, you know, are you open to intuitive information? And, of course, she said yes. So I explained to her what I had seen. And to my amazement, her daughter had passed away 20 years before that at age 2. And her dog had died 3 weeks before her daughter. And she said it confirmed for her that she'd always thought that her dog had passed first in order to greet her daughter and make the transition easier. So I was just so humbled by that experience. Now, another experience I want to share is called the White Feather Story. This is really important, and it's important to my heart, let me put it that way, and many of my clients have heard this story. And so I'm going to share it with you. It's a special and true story that occurred 15 years ago. It actually occurred when I began my Heart Living work. It's not only true, but it is about children and mothers and has come to be called the White Feather Story. Well, in 1998, I'd begun my Heart Living classes for women, and I decided that each woman who took the 8-week program, and interestingly, to date, 700 women have done this, that I would give each one of them a heart pin. And, you know, I wanted to seek the right heart pin. I just didn't want to have to change it up. I wanted one pin that I could always give. So I came across one that was made by a local artist at a local shop here in the Tidewater area called Kindred Spirits. So, again, that's kind of an interesting symbol. But I was at Kindred Spirits and I saw this beautiful gold clay pin. And when I saw it, I thought, oh, this is nice. This is the kind of idea that I had. And on the back of the pin was the artist's name. But when I tried to look it up, I couldn't find the number. So I did buy the pin. And then 2 days later, I was at my university office where I taught at the time. And a woman named Fleeta came in, and she's become a dear friend of mine, but she complimented me on the pin, which I was wearing, and I thanked her, and I said, you know, I'm thinking about doing this for the heart pin, and I just have to find the artist. Well, you know how the universe is, okay? It always helps us, assists us when we need it. And Fleeta, when I told her the artist's name, she said, oh, I know her. This woman's daughter had gone to school with Fleeta's daughter, and the artist's daughter had passed away when she was in fifth grade from an inoperable tumor that had encased her heart, and their daughters were in school together. Well, I have to tell you, I was so moved, and I knew that I had to find this person to make my heart pins. So with Fleeta's help, I did contact the artist, Martha, showed her my heart logo. I didn't tell her anything about, you know, what I knew about her daughter, but just agreed to pick up the finished product in 2 weeks. Well, that night, after I was with Martha, I had a dream. Now, in my lifetime, I've frequently had what I call visionary dreams, but this time I was awakened in the dream, and I saw these white lines of light moving in a pattern on the floor in my bedroom. Usually they call that a lucid dream where you're sort of awake and sort of asleep. Anyway, immediately I knew that this was Martha's daughter. Now, I don't know how. I don't have any way to tell you why I knew that, but I did. And for some bizarre reason, I said to her in the dream, how would I know you, or how do I know you? And honestly, I have no idea why I asked that question, but she replied with words that I'm never going to forget. And these are the words. She said, I am the fractured light that comes through the window and dances on your floor. I am the light of the white feather. Well, instantly, my heart felt seriously like it was the size of my house. I just had the strongest, warmest love I've ever felt. And I just fell back to sleep knowing I'm never going to forget these words, and I never have. Anyway, the next morning I went to my car to leave for work, and I saw my own daughter, Courtney, who was in the fifth grade. You know, here's another synchronicity at the time. And we had this ritual where she would stand at the door. She had a different way to get to school, but she'd stand at the door when I went to work, and she'd wave to me. So I waved to her, you know, blew her a little kiss, put my key in the ignition, and I looked directly at my car window in front of me, and there on the outside of the glass was a small white feather. Well, I was so shocked, and I can't even tell you, I was just amazed. And I reached around and took the white feather off the glass and tucked it into my car coin purse, just this tiny little white feather. Well, the same day, you know, I'm coaching a spiritual photographer, and at the end of her session, she said, you know, I have a gift, Cynthia, that I want to give you for my trip to Greece. Well, what do you think she gave me? She gave me a beautiful white feather. Apparently, she had gone to a place called Swan Lake in Greece, and when she was at the lake, she saw these white feathers and thought of me and wanted to bring me back this feather. So I was just overcome with amazement, and I knew in my heart that I wanted to share my dream with Martha about her daughter, but and the appearance of the white feathers, but, you know, I didn't want to be intrusive in any way. So the next week, I was on my way to Martha's house, and I did my usual thing, which is like, help, you know, to the other side. And I said a prayer to her daughter, you know, please help me if I'm supposed to tell your mom about this dream. Well, when I got there, Martha had very sweetly placed the gorgeous pins on a blue velvet cloth on her dining room table. And before I could share anything, Martha shared with me that she thought her daughter, Ruthie, had something to do with her making my heart pin that I had found at Kindred Spirits. And she told me that Ruthie herself loved to draw hearts, and particularly with curved tails like my logo. And Martha said that when she made the gold heart pin that I had found, that she had felt Ruthie's presence the whole time. Well, of course, you know, thank you, Ruthie. I told Martha about my dream, the appearance of the white feathers. We hugged. And, you know, we were in awe of the beautiful threads that connect us all. I asked Martha to wait just a moment. And I went to my car, and because I thought, oh, I've got that white feather. And I returned with this little small white feather that had been so perfectly placed on my car glass that morning. And with tears, we both realized that the next day was Mother's Day and that this was a gift from Ruthie to her mother. I had not even put it together until that moment. And since this experience 15 years ago, I've told the story to all my heart graduates. And once people hear the story, guess what? They start finding white feathers at the most incredible moments. But always they find them when they need reassurance, a feeling of love, and to know that everything's going to be okay. You know, when they need the signature of an angel, that's when they find it. Or they need to know that their loved ones are thinking of them or hearing them. So now that you're a part of the white feather story, if you begin to find white feathers, maybe you already have, just know that they're a gift from the angels and your loved ones, and know that most of all, I guess I should say, know that we're all so connected, we're so protected, and really we're all so loved. It is universal law because truly we are all one. So in closing our show this evening, I want to thank you for letting me spend this time with you. I encourage you to visit my website at heartliving.com and my Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving. You can subscribe to my weekly blog, and I also have new opportunities coming soon. So heartliving.com is the website. Again, thank you so much, and promise yourself that you will open and lead from your heart. I look very much forward to our June program. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM, NBC Sports Radio Boston. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Join us the first Sunday evening of every month at 7 p.m. to explore ways to live a more inspired and passionate life. Gain clarity, balance, and purpose as Cynthia guides you on an enlightening journey of personal transformation. For more information, find Cynthia at her website, heartliving.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/heartliving.
Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Join Lynn McGonigal, the founder of the Lightworkers Healing Method, as she and her amazing guests show you how to move into a life of lasting joy. Miracles happen every second Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Hasn't your soul already waited long enough?